but with the people. So I'm just asking you all to support us as we're navigating this. There you go. I see you, baby. She just blew me a kiss. And for those that are online, we see you. We thank you for being here with us today. And as they would say in my native tongue, leg into avance sundu. What does that mean? Some people are like, that means we hungry. No, no, we're actually a little bit behind schedule. But what we will do and what we should do is give you the meat of the message and shorten the message. How does that sound? All right. Okay, all right. Because I looked at the schedule, Duff, I said, y'all gave me an hour to speak. I said, that's a lot of time. But I'm going to shorten the message to about 20 to 25 minutes. Does that sound good?
Amen.
All right. My brother already is like, let's go. But before we get started, I just definitely want to show gratitude to Nyel. I also heard on stage something that left me triste. I was in a bit of sadness. I heard that his middle name is named after his father. I tried to get Renee to name her child after me. Now I tried my brother, but nothing is working. So I guess I'm going to have to make my own and go for the fourth. But today we embrace the powerful reminder of community through the baby dedication and also hope. And also hope. I share this with my brother before he had his first, before we go into the message. My brother looked into the world and saw the chaos and saw the travesty. And he said, I'm not sure I want to bring a precious soul into this world. But then comes in Luna, who changes his life forever. And as we dads are taking the strollers side by side, I watch my brother and the glow that's on his face. And I'm reminded that children are not just the hope for the future, but they're the hope that we didn't know we needed, Daph. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity. But most importantly, we say, just as the song said, oh, you are a wonderful Savior. Today is a day where grief and hope sits next to each other. We celebrate fathers that are here, but some are mourning the fact that fathers that they once celebrated are no longer there to receive the flowers. But God, we have a Father who is there always in the midst of everything that we go through. And your word says you are a man deeply acquainted with sorrow. So God, we ask that you lift up those that may be in sorrow. You lift up a community that needs you now, God. And we ask, as we're about to speak, beyond eloquence of speech and cheap cliches, we ask that you move and have your way. Thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let me see if I can do this, Jason. I thought multitasking is a myth, so let's see. All right, we got it. So it says a father's what? Does what? Do you all believe that? Y'all got to talk to me. We got to go as fast as you respond. I'm an interactive preacher. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, all right. The key and operative word there is belief. What's the word?
Belief.
And so I also want to just take a quick moment to thank Pastor Bushner and for gifting this opportunity for me to speak. And also, and Pastor, he said you were the one speaking. I said, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. But thank you, Pastor, for also praying and being here with us as well. I want to say thank you to the praise team. Man, Ricky, you be holding it down. I heard Ricky hit a note. I said, Ricky, man, you do it all. You do it all from the court to the notes. I appreciate you. Lisa, thank you for your gift and leading out. And I also want to thank you all for being here today. As we jump into our message for today, I'm going to stick to the script so that I can actually stay on time, okay? Is that all right?
Amen.
All right. So we're going to do a bit of a deep dive, right? I believe that as Christians, our foundation is the Word of God. What is our foundation? So I hope that we can actually do a little Bible study and explore today. And potentially we get to see the power of God's word. And so there's an idea that really captured my heart. I am big on leadership thought. I want to be a thought leader in leadership. I want to teach ministry leaders how to be led and not to lead. Everyone has the capacity to lead, as long as you have one person following you. But the question is, can you follow God's leading in your life? And I believe our text actually transforms something that at one point in time, Lisa, I didn't believe in. I was raised in public education. Oh, you already know. Tamika, you know, I'm like, hey. And you know, as an administrator, there's some things, Mika, we don't get in the Christian education that we get in public education. But it's true both ways. But I believe there's an education that we get in the Word of God that you can't get anywhere else. And so today I want to not just inform you, but share where the Bible actually transforms a doctrine that the world has given us in terms of belief. So we're going to really feel the weight of something today. I'm actually going to be looking at, okay, I'm supposed to point this way, right? Yeah, there we go. I'm going to look at John 14, 12 through 17. John 14, 12 through 17. But I want to zoom in specifically on verse 12. So if you have an iPhone, throw it away. You know I hate iPhones. I just bought an iPhone for my wife, and it was misery. Don't do boo. Where's the kill? We got to kick somebody out there. All right, and those that are online, just turn quickly with me to John 14, chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Now, I want you to take a look at all of that on your own, but we have to set the scene real quickly. So I want you just to travel back with me real quick. This is a central scripture, John 14, verse 12, but it's not just a casual conversation or a chat. It's what they call Jesus's farewell message. What is it called? Farewell message to his disciples. And this happens right after Judas leaves the upper room. Can anyone tell me what was happening in the upper room during that time? Anyone, real quick, just shout it out. Last Supper. Okay. Yeah. Last Supper. And what's happening during the Last Supper? What's happening? Tell me real quick. Eating, Jesus talking to them, right? And what's happening? And what I want you to understand is this is not just any typical conversation. It actually mirrors what's happening in our country right now. Let me share something with you. It says in the text, if you go to John 13, you will see it says that Jesus's beloved disciple was reclining next to him. And he poses a question. And Jesus declares to him that one of you in the midst will betray me. I need you to hear and understand that calamity chaos is where his farewell message sits. Their disciples are now in a state of confusion. He's asking them, who do you think is going to betray me? They're all turning towards each other. We are in a state of chaos in our world right now. But what God does anchors us in a reality of truth. He speaks the truth in time, in word, but he still offers comfort. And I'll show you that today. So they're now at a point where there's a betrayer. Jesus is the leader and he's their Messiah, but he's saying, I'm going to leave you. And so now I'm a therapist, so I can only assume that now they're experiencing anxiety. With the confusion, right? They're overwhelmed, overloaded, overcommitted now because they're like, what should we do now that you're going to go? But remember, they don't even know where he's going. But they just know that he's leaving them. So I just need you to understand how that sinks in. This is a moment of deep uncertainty. Some of y'all trying to act like it's all good right now because bills are paid. The problems haven't hit your backyard. But there is a deep uncertainty. I'm in a space with some administrators while they are leading out an app for people on group facilitation. They are saying any second now I might have to leave because there are bombs going off in our area. There is deep uncertainty. But what Jesus does is an audacious empowerment in the midst of the uncertainty. And somebody already missed a shout. What Jesus does is speak a word of life and truth in their darkest moment. This is where we start our scripture today. And what is the promise? The promise is simple. He says to them, read with me. It says, verily, verily, I tell you what? All right. All right. So I can tell y'all didn't stand in line in class. Nobody, but check this out. Check this out. He says that they will do greater works, right? Now, I've preached on this from a different aspect here, right? But I'm preaching on this now today to unpack a wild statement, y'all. I need someone to answer this for me real quick. Are the disciples perfect beings? Jesus is perfect, right? So for those that remember, I did a sermon just called How Sway. The question is, how can they do the impossible? He's saying that they're going to do miracles just like he did. He's saying that you're going to speak life and death situations just like I did to imperfect beings. So someone please answer this question, because if you cannot, we cannot move on right now. How, Sway, will someone that's imperfect do greater than someone that's perfect? Talk to me, y'all. Online, somebody got to talk to me. We got to unpack that. And I know some of, like, listen, we're Seventh-day Adventists, so I know some of us are perfectly keeping the Sabbath, right? Some people are like, nah. But look. But what? That's my point. We're still flawed. And he's saying to us that we are going to do greater than him. So someone tell me how.
By trusting God.
By trusting God. Come on, nephew. For those that's online, that's a handsome young man right there by the name of Ethan. So we have to trust God. And let's keep tracking with what he's saying. Because he's challenging them to think first, not about their limitations. Somebody just missed another shout. Some of us worry more than we worship. So he's telling them, fret not about your limitation, because what I am doing right now is speaking a word of life, and I'm educating you on something. There's a core distinction in belief here, and I promise you we're getting to it. He framed it in two ways that the world doesn't. He says, now catch this, the world, when I see professional and personal development, the first indoctrination says, and everywhere it says, just believe in who? Huh? Yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe we need an ounce of confidence, right? I do believe. I think it's important. But the Bible is arguing something entirely different. The Bible is saying it is insufficient to do greater works. It's insufficient to do greater works. So those that are born from human willpower cannot do things that God is asking them to do from human willpower alone. So Jesus introduces what I call a legendary paradigm shift on the double belief. What is it called? Yeah, you got to get it, girl. You better get it. She said the whole thing. Yeah, you got me. You about to do greater works today. But listen, it's called the double belief. So I want you to pay attention. This is, I believe, the fundamental bedrock in countering this belief in self. He says, you must first believe in who? In him. All right. A lot of us got that. A lot of us actually have learned this. Have faith in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. But if Jesus is not, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is not only teaching that. So why is that the only thing we're teaching? Jesus also teaches, he says, have unequivocal, unwavering faith in me, because I'm going to ask you to do things that you can't do in your own strength and your own power. So you have to believe in me. But then the second thing we often miss, he says, catch what he says. He says, you will do greater works than I've done. So he's saying, I believe in you. Y'all missed it, man.
Amen.
Now, You had, Odev is our eldest brother. He's in the audience right now. And you've had, I'm just going to do a quick tangent. You've had multiple opportunities to put Ethan in multiple things. But when he lacks the confidence and belief in himself, what do you do?
I speak to him and I also encourage him to show
him. Yeah. So the belief you have in him, and y'all know in science, that's the difference between kinetic and potential energy. One has an act, a force acting upon it. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you just to believe in me, because that's not even sufficient. You have to believe, Lisa, that I believe in you. Come on, y'all. And so when we stretch our capacity, the reason you probably feel overwhelmed instead of overjoyed is because you're overstepping your boundary. That place where God was trying to work, he was saying, you got to believe in me, then you have to believe that I believe in you. But you only believe in yourself. So there's no question why you're overwhelmed right now. So the double belief is, what's the first thing? Believing in who? Amen. And then the second thing is what? All right, so that shifts our paradigm in education for everything. Those two beliefs are the most important thing. So let's continue. So now I want to put it in context of fatherhood real quick. So as a father, you have to understand, and this is from the very beginning of Eden. Adam was placed in the garden to be a provider, correct? Wrong. He was just called to steward. God believed in him enough to say, go till the land, go name the animals, right? God provisioned everything for him. God was already the one doing everything. So in the context of fatherhood, the best thing you can do for your children is not providing for them. It's believing in them. See, it's seeing their potential, their God-given talents before they even fully recognize it that makes them believe in themselves. So when you ask, do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to be a lawyer? 9 times out of 10, they just look into what their parents was doing. And now they're trying to model it, and they're modeling it because you believe they can do it. When you go around, Ricky, you say, my kid going to be so-and-so. And you know you Haitian, so it's going to be engineer, doctor, avocat. No hooping. You don't do that today. Don't lie to ourselves. But essentially, the word of God, we're moving quickly. The word of God says it. Right? He sees your potential before you do. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, eyes have not seen nor ears have heard what God has prepared in the hearts of his children. Come on, y'all. Y'all, listen, the word, we always quote it. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or even think of. So you can't even think of what he's thinking about you. But then he says, according to the power that worketh where? In you. Come on, y'all. Come on. So this literally underscores that God sees an unseen potential in you. See, the difference between gifts and talents, talents you can work towards it. Gifts, you were born with it. But God has to reveal it in you. I'm going to keep going because I promise I say I'm going to end in 20 minutes. How much time I got? Someone, I hope you're paying attention. How much time I got? 5 minutes? Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. But essentially what we see now, this is what we start to see. This is in the book of John. The book of John is written to the disciples because the disciples did not believe in the Messiah. But what you see through the book of John, and this is what we talked about. I want to correlate everything real quick. The book of John shows that God's words are just as powerful as his touch. I need y'all to repeat after me. God's words are just as powerful as what? All right, if you don't believe me, what happened at the first miracle that's recorded in the book of John? Huh? Yeah, but you didn't answer the question. My brother's like, Jesus didn't touch anything. But what's the first miracle that happens? Water to wine, right? How did the miracle happen, Doc? He spoke it. Oh, somebody missing there. You missing your shout. See, I even started in the very beginning. I know y'all missing y'all shout. God spoke words in a moment, in their darkest moment of uncertainty. And then you have to catch what's happening here, y'all. When you look at all the examples, someone might say John 9, when he healed the blind man, that he touched him. No, If you go back and read, the miracle happened when the man did what he said to do. Go in the pool. God's words are just as powerful. So right now, Father, you're looking at the fact that you got bills, you got problems, but you got to understand that if God spoke a word in your life, and John proved it, John started his book in John 1 verse 1. Don't take my word for it. He goes back to the very beginning. He says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was what? God. And so he's establishing something that we need to remember today. He's saying that that same word that created light in dark places can speak a word in your darkness right now. And catch this. He's also saying you've been traveling around the world. You've been seeing many places, but he's also saying that those same places you have not visited and those same places that you did visit, my word are still holding those places together. So why can't I hold you? Believe in me because I believe in you. That's the word of God, y'all. Y'all told me I have 5 minutes, so I'm gonna end here. I'm gonna end here. I think this is important. I think it's very important. I don't wanna cry. Y'all know I'm a crier. Man, I remember Daddy Zion. They know I'm gonna cry. My mom always be sitting my brothers up here to kind of get me. So, man, there was a nurse when Zion was being born, Mika. Olga had all these complications going. The doctor was like, we gotta do a C-section right now. Otherwise, things are gonna go left. But you know, if y'all know Oda Tet D, Oda, she got a bigger head than me. She won't be honest, but she got a bigger head than me. But she hard-headed. She wanted to keep going. And also, Zion was stubborn. He didn't want to move. Zion finally comes out. The nurse, she comes and she says, hand me your son. She gets Zion. Lillian, she just starts to speak life over him. She said, he's going to be a good man. He's going to be a great man. He's going to be a leader. She just started speaking life over Zion. When I saw Zion start moving, and I'm like, man, y'all got to understand today, the same way words can build you up, they can tear you down. And God is saying, the words that I have for you today, and this is for you all online, the words that I have for you today is simple. I believe in you, but I want you to also believe in me. So your circumstance, you got to catch this. Your circumstance cannot outweigh God's belief. God is proving that his word comes before your problem. His word came before your problem. So if you have more bills than you have money, and you have more problems than you have bills, then you got to say, I have more God and faith that he has in me than I believe in this situation. Because I believe God can speak a word today in your situation. So I have three appeals. I have three simple appeals. You know what words you need spoken in your life. You know whether it's a health circumstance. You know whether it's a financial circumstance. You know whether it's a family member you've been praying for. You just need a word spoken so you can believe that God, you already said it. So it has to happen. The Bible says in Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent and die. What has he said that he has not done? What has he promised that he has not fulfilled? God is a promise keeper. Because when he sends his word, it will not come void. And I have a second appeal. Y'all know, we live in a world right now that, remember talking to one of my clients, and she was like, Denard, I wanted to check into the hospital today. I said, what's going on? She said, I woke up to the worst nightmare. Someone was grooming my child online. And by the time my twin sister made it to the place, The twin sister said, you got to catch what's happening, y'all. God just spoke a word and told the twin sister, go to the house. And as she was going to the house, the young man was getting into the man's car. God can speak a word even if you're not there, y'all. I know that feels like that there's no safe place right now, but there is safety in the arms of the Lord. He sees what you can't. He can do what you can't. He knows what you need. Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, before you asked in your prayer, he answered. And before you knew your needs, he provided. So my third call right now, my third call, simple call, simple call. See, God didn't just speak words that he believed in you. He stretched out on the cross and he said, my actions follow my words. So I'm asking someone right now, you may have already committed your life to God. You may need to recommit your life to God. And y'all, I don't do this, but I know that God told me to. So I'm asking you right now. If you either need to recommit or you need to commit or you need to reintroduce yourself to a God that can speak a word and change everything, I just need you to stand. I just need you to stand and we're going to pray for you because I believe the Bible says that it's the fervent and the effectual prayers of the righteous that availeth much. My brother said something in a poem. He said, when you need help, you can't be too cute. And my dad followed it up by saying, the first sign of a man that needs help is one that can ask it. The greatest line of belief in the Bible is the man that says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God spoke a word into his situation. I'm going to call up. Oh, you know I'm calling you up, brother. I'm going to call up my brother. I'm going to ask him to pray over every man in this place. I want you to allow God to speak a word over every man in this space. As my brother comes up, I want to tell you something as he's coming up. There was a moment where my brother, he was serving in the military. And thank you for your service, brother. And my parents didn't know. I had to keep the secret. And so I fast forward here as we close out. Y'all don't laugh at me. Y'all know I'm Haitian. I was like, I don't believe Haitians are supposed to go to the military. So I prayed, Daddy, and I said, I would speak a word. And I thought God was telling me to write a letter, right? Y'all got to hear me here. When my mom told me what my brother had asked for when he was away from family, he said it was the Bible. It was the Bible. Y'all, we are in a time where things are uncertain, but it's the Bible. It's the word of God that changes everything. So as we pray, I'm just going to invite everyone to pray and stand as we just pray that God speaks a word over the men, the communities, the children, as we close out. Oh, you can grab that there. Wait.
Day. Lord, we thank you for the Lord that you are. We thank you for the Father that you are. We thank you that you have faith in us and you will always have faith in us. Lord, the faith that you have in us, we don't have in ourselves, and we are proud and blessed to be your children. Oh Lord, I say thank you to all the fathers that are in here and those that are prepping to be fathers. Lord, I say thank you for another Father's Day. I say thank you for watching over us, giving us the wisdom to lead and be led by you so that we may lead our own. Lord, I ask that we, as we continue to cherish our children, show them the way and show them the path to you, that you continue to breathe life and faith into us. Lord, and we all know that these fathers here would not be able to do it without the strong wives and mothers that are in their lives and the family and community that continue to help them raise themselves and their children. Lord, we ask that on this blessed Sabbath day, you continue to watch us, hold us, keep us, walk with us, and just continue to believe in us, as the sermon said. Lord, I thank you for my family. I thank you for all the families that are here. I thank you for your continued blessing of these families. Lord, just continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.